up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks for your company. As you know, recently I attended the Roundtable on Information Access for People with a Print Disability, and at that conference I was able to catch up with Neil Jarvis, who's the president of the Roundtable, and have a look at the Orbit Braille Reader. Here's our conversation.
Neil, welcome to New Horizons.
Thank you very much.
Why don't you tell us about yourself and what it is that you do?
So I guess I have a couple of hats that I can tell you about. One is, as you say, I'm fortunate enough to be the president of the Roundtable, and I have had that position for 4 years now. And my other role is I work on the leadership team at the Blind Foundation in New Zealand, and I look after our strategic relations work and also work on accessibility issues. I think it's an exciting time because we have undergone a lot of thinking about what we're here for, why we exist, and what we want to do in the future. And last year we started on the next five-year plan for our organisation. And whilst the whole business of business plans and strategic plans can be quite bureaucratic sounding, I think the important aspect of them is that it gives you a clear indication of what you think is important as an organisation in the years to come. And we've highlighted for the first time, really, that we think that access for all, which we always did by default, but we didn't headline it really, it was just part of what we did. We're making it a headline issue because we think that it's important that it be talked about.
I think it's important too for us in Australia to realise that there are other countries in the world. We don't actually hear about a lot of what's going on in the other countries, and that's one of the things that I think has been really exciting about the Roundtable conference.
Yeah.
It's been a really exciting process from the beginning to the end to see the presentations that have been held at the conference and the people who've been presenting. Neil, I'm really excited to be talking to you today because one of the things that's really important to blind people, regardless of where they are in the world, is Braille.
Yeah.
And you've got something really exciting to tell us about. Why don't you get into that?
Yeah, so a number of organisations came together in 2012 for precisely the reason you've just said, that Braille is important, it remains important, despite the fact that we're always hearing, oh, there are fewer and fewer people reading Braille, do you really need Braille, now you've got synthetic speech, all that sort of thing. We've always believed that Braille is about literacy. We think that if you have access to Braille, you have so many more options open to you. And that's not to say that people who don't have access, who don't want to read Braille, that's not to make them in some way inferior or second-class citizens. It's not about that. But it is saying to people that in the same way that sighted people use print and would never just rely on computer screens, we think that using Braille is just as important. And we know that there's a direct causal link between the usage of Braille and the ability to attract and hold down a job. We're very interested, as a number of organisations, to work out how we could produce more electronic Braille, because that's more instant. You can produce more of it more quickly, and it doesn't take up several lorry loads of volumes of Braille books. But as we know, the problem with that is that they tend to be very expensive, in excess of $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. So that's out of the reach of most people. If you're in work, you might. If you're studying, you might. But often, even then, you don't. And of course, if you're not in any of those two things, you're not likely to have the income to be able to afford to buy an expensive device. So we came together 4 years ago and we set ourselves an objective. And that objective was we were going to bring to market a device that would be an electronic Braille display, primarily a book reader, but would also be able to connect to a computer, whether it be a PC or a Mac, to a smart device, iOS or Android, or it would be able to take files that you could download from your PC or that would be sent to you by your library, or however it happens to be. And we said that we wanted to do that for around $500. of course, people said it couldn't be done, and of course, people said that we were crazy. But 4 years on, we've managed it. In March this year, we launched the Orbit Braille Reader, which is currently a 20-cell Braille display. We'll be on the market by the end of the year, we hope. We're aiming for that $500 mark. If we achieve that, then that will mean that people who, up until now, have never been able to afford Braille devices will be able to. And if they can do that, they can receive electronic Braille and get access to more literature and more content than they've ever been able to do before. And that, to us, is particularly relevant because the Marrakesh Treaty is on the point of coming into force. I think that's going to happen within the next year, which will make more content available to more people. So we need them to have devices to read it on.
Mm. And it's particularly important for people in third world countries, wouldn't you say?
Definitely so, yeah. With my Blind Foundation hat on, I do a lot of work with the World Blind Union in the Asia-Pacific region, and most of the countries in that region are developing countries, and there isn't any Braille display market there because there's just no way that people are going to ever be able to afford to buy them. And that means that there's a knock-on effect with that, which is that that Braille doesn't get used as much as it could. And so we've been talking a lot with organisations in places like Malaysia and the Philippines and Mongolia and China and Vietnam and so many other places like that. And they are very interested in this device because this will bring Braille to them for the first time. We think that this is an eminently fundraisable thing. So even if a large organisation wants to raise money for a device like this, it's going to be possible, and then they'll be able to distribute them around different countries, rather like we do with Daisy players right now.
Well, let's have a look, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
And see how it works and put it through its paces. So
sure.
Here we have a plastic device, similar size to the BrailleSense U2
yes.
Mini, in fact.
Yeah, very similar.
And it has a direction wheel thing up the top with three keys on each side and then three buttons across the middle. And I assume that constitutes a Braille keyboard, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. So what this device will do is we put a Braille keyboard on there. Initially, we put it on there because it was going to be the device, the means by which people could issue commands. And we'll be able to navigate files, and we'll be able to do things like search for text and that sort of thing. We never intended at that point to have a note-taking capability in the device, even though people obviously wanted it. About 2 months ago, we realized that actually this was still quite doable without having a negative impact on the cost. So there will be a basic text editing facility, not as complex as what you might see in the high-end note takers, but it's what I would call a pen and paper approach. So if you want to write notes on something that you're reading, or you want to write a note for yourself later on, it's that sort of thing. I wouldn't write War and Peace with it, but I'd certainly write my notes for the next session that I'm going to be chairing with it.
I'm looking now at the Braille display itself, and it's a very smooth bed for the Braille cells. Mm. There's no up and down contour at all. It's very nice and smooth. The Braille is very firm and very distinct, so it's very, very easy to feel. I would venture to say that it's among the best Braille I've seen.
When we started testing this device in January with ordinary Braille readers as opposed to those of us who've been working on the project, first two things happened. When it first arrived to me, I was blown away by the quality of the Braille, really, really blown away by it, and had exactly the same reaction as you've just given. And then I showed it to a bunch of very experienced and high-use Braillists, and I was expecting that we would get some feedback, which was, it's not as good as such and such or whatever. The comment I got most often was, it is the best Braille I've ever seen. I was pleasantly surprised by that, but I know why they're saying it.
And there's no movement when you run your fingers along it. It doesn't sort of cave under your finger.
Yeah, yeah.
And I assume these long, narrow buttons to either side are the panning controls?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
They move the Braille forward.
So do you push the whole thing or the... the
just,
top end?
Just push whichever bit okay. your finger's on. It's not a rocker as such, so just applying pressure on it, either end of it will be fine.
Now, it makes an interesting sound, doesn't it, when you...
Yes. Yeah, so that's the cells refreshing. Mm. What you're seeing right now, Vaughan, is a prototype of the device, which came out... where are we now? We're in May, and it came out in January. So there have been several updates since then. But we think we can cushion the noise to a degree, but there'll still be some noise. I've deliberately gone to people with questions like, do you find the noise annoying? Because if people did, we'd need to know about that.
Mm.
And quite a few people said, actually, it's no more annoying than when I can hear people clicking a mouse.
No, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. It's not an unpleasant sound, and you know something's happening,
yeah.
and you know how it's happening,
yeah.
Which is really good. On the back, we have an SD card slot and a micro USB
that's
socket,
yeah.
and just to the left, there's a little square button. I assume that's the power button?
That's the power button, yeah.
Excellent.
Yep.
So it's very compact, and it's very simple in design. There's no cursor routing keys, so none of that to confuse anybody.
And that was simply because we never envisaged it being a note taker of any sort. So, so there was no need for cursor routing.
I'm extremely impressed, and I think that that you've all done very well to bring this to fruition.
Thank you.
And I'm sure that I'll certainly be putting an order in for one, and
that's
I'm sure that
hear.
Many others will be as well.
That's good to hear. Well, I know that, as I say, there were agencies around the world that were involved in this, and basically what we did is because we all talk about how awful it is that Braille is so expensive, and it's very hard to know what to do about it. So... the point of Transforming Braille, which was the consortium, if you like, that brought this to fruition, was to get agencies like Vision Australia and, in my case, the Blind Foundation in New Zealand and RNIB in the UK and various American organisations and CNIB in Canada, all to come together and put some money up front on the table. And our collective buying power is much better than our individual buying power is.
Mm.
And so you'll find that that's what's made the difference, I think, is that we've actually collaborated to make that happen.
Can you foresee a time when other manufacturers will license that Braille cell design and it'll become even cheaper?
And indeed, one of the things that we said as we were working through the project was, if it turned out that by starting work on this, that in itself shook up the Braille market, and... other manufacturers thought they'd better get in on the act, and they started producing their own $500 devices, then we would have won, even if we never produced a single device ourselves. As it's happened, we've had to prove that we weren't prepared to blink first, and we've gone to the point of production. But I'm absolutely confident that there will be others that will follow in our footsteps, and we would welcome that. Yeah.
Neil, thanks very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Vaughan. Thanks for your time.
And that was Neil Jarvis, the president of the Roundtable on Information Access for People with a Print Disability. Before we finish the program, there are some changes afoot for residents of Tasmania. For those of you who are members of Guide Dogs Tasmania, you will, if you haven't already, receive a letter regarding building a relationship or merger between Guide Dogs Tasmania and Visibility in Western Australia. And I had hoped to bring you some information about it. However, when I contacted the CEO to organise an interview, she declined to comment. So make of that what you will. If you're interested, there are some member information sessions. The first one's coming up on the 4th of June, so get in for that quickly. You can get in touch with Guide Dogs by phoning 1-800-484-333. That's 1-800-484-333 to register your interest for the special general meeting or for the member information sessions. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Blind Citizens Australia can be contacted by phoning 1-800-033-660 or by emailing bca@bca.org.au. Don't forget, your donations are always appreciated, so you can find out how to do that by phoning the office or by looking at the website bca.org.au. Take care until next week when we look to new horizons.
We'll achieve the realization of a dream. Of our dreams.